Marlin Head. Finally, after the long journey and countless sights along the Inishowen 100, you've made it. Ensure you take the Marlin Head Trail from the Napoleonic Tower and Banbus Crown Hill along the coast to Marlin Head itself, taking in the freshest air in Europe.
The strange thing about this place is that although it's known as Ireland's most northerly point, it's a bit like Mizzen Head and John O'Groats, that Mizzen Head is not the most southerly point and John O'Groats isn't the most northerly point in Scotland. That down there on a wee island where the Erisine is Donaldra, called Fort of the Bird Flocks, and just past that there's a landmark of a rock standing vertically up. That technically would be Ireland's most northerly point there. Now, the strange thing is this has only been Banbus Crown, and even then it was misnamed then about 30 years ago when it was called Bamba, as an Ola La Bamba.
Don't sing it.
I wouldn't dare. And
it's too early.
I would like to take credit, and since about 2000, with an awful lot of effort, and every letter and email I sent out, it's Bamba.
With an N.
With an N, as in, along with Folo and Eru, which were three princesses of Era of long, long ago. And so it's, the actual name of the hill is Knocknagheera, the Hill of the Sheep.
Probably one of the most interesting items about here at Banbus Crown, and as I said earlier, of course, at Knocknagheera it became Banbus Crown within the last 30 years, and only in the last 8 or so has become its proper title with a name. Now, is the small hill immediately above the first car park, that's called Arden Emeriga. Now, again, I refer back to a Gaelic scholar and historian, Conall Byrne, God rest him, and the stories are very, very interesting. Now, story number one is, depending on how Arden Emeriga is pronounced, it could be the hill, the American Hill. And part of the reason for that would have been that after the famous American Wake took place, where there was a party held from the night before to dawn the next day, when people were leaving to go to America many years ago by ship from Avil, they would have had this party, which is effectively a wake, because in a lot of cases these people might never be seen or heard from again, because a few of them couldn't write, or the ship could have sunk, even the sailing ship or what have you. So it was, to all intents and purposes, a wake for that person. And while the ship would be leaving Mobile to go to America, it passed Innistrahull Island and headed west towards Tory, and the people would have gathered on that hill to wave goodbye to whoever belonging to them was on the ship. And it's been known that many's a captain in the old sailing days would have fired off a ship's gun to say, well, they've seen you, or in later years the steamships would have blown the horn. Now, there's another one as well. It could also mean the hull of the standard or flag. Now, that ties in with the previous idea of the American hull, because apparently they did the same up at Inishowen Head, that then when people were leaving, they got a piece of cloth and tied it to the highest pole they could get their hands on, probably a few fishing rods tied together, and they would fly that so as that people would, even though the ship had dipped down over the horizon and Ireland was gone, they might still be able to see this wee piece of the homeland for a few minutes more. But an even more interesting slant to it, it could also be the hull of the demented. Now, there's a place in Kerry, apparently, the same as our hull of the demented. And that, coming up to new moons and full moons, lunatics, as they would have been referred to in those days, or psychologically challenged maybe in our more PC days, these people tended to head towards water, and apparently that is a medical fact, all right. But that also could be one of the reasons that this was actually called the Hill of the Demented. And as I say, it's all down, according to Gaelic scholar Conall Byrne, on how you pronounced the actual word itself. Just immediately below us, where those that mossy ground can be seen, between us and the low-level farmhouse in the distance to the south, is they were both lakes at a time, and now they've become overgrown into mosses. And luckily enough, in one of them we have one of the very few vipers that exist in Ireland, and it is a form of newt, but it's actually a viper in its own right. It was also called locally a man-keeper, and I would have been warned, and all youngsters were warned, I suppose, to keep us away from lakes and mosses, that this man-keeper could do all sorts of weird things to you if it bit you or went up the leg of your trousers or God knows what, you know. Now, another thing that we have up here, and that would be down as you look more to the southeast where the large ridge beach is, and towards this end of it there's a small river runs into the sea. Now, that was a great location for otters in its time, and again the older people would warn us to stay away from the water dogs, or that eat us alive, because that's what they were called, because the actual translation of otter is madariskia in Irish, which translates into water dogs in English. Now, looking around you as well, depending on the time of the year, you'll find really a few types of heather. The bell heather will look exceptionally like Scottish hillsides with purple in the autumn time. And there's also a delicious thing to be found if you're walking through this heather. If you look out for a patch of heather that's extremely green rather than brown and purple, if you look there you'll find blackberries, small berries, and they're absolutely delicious. And of course the birds can play havoc with people's concrete and tarmac when they get a feed of these, and when they recycle through the bird, well, the inevitable happens, you've got bright patches of purple all over your house.